This third week of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, we're called to rejoice. Again, St. Paul says, rejoice always in the Lord. We are called to rejoice because the time of our Lord's visitation is coming very near. That is our invitation. And even in the midst of all of the stuff going on in the world, all of the disruptions, all of the evil, we are called to rejoice. You might say, wait a minute. It's too crazy. I had a Christmas party last week. My spouse's Christmas party is coming up this week. I only got half my shopping done. There's all the baking to do. There's Christmas concerts to go to. The in-laws are coming, or the outlaws, whatever they are, they're coming to town. How can I rejoice in all of this? And then what about all the crazy stuff going on in the world? Over in Washington, D.C., in North Korea, in the Middle East, in Africa, in the Holy Land. We're called to rejoice in that? Yes, we are. Because to rejoice is our response as Christians. To rejoice in everything. Even if we've gotten a terrible diagnosis in our health. Even if there's been an accident. Rejoice. Because God has clothed us with a robe of salvation. He heals our broken hearts, our bondage, our poverty. There's really only one thing that should ever disturb that peace of our heart, and that is if we find ourselves losing that relationship that we have with God. Because all of these things, no matter how great, no matter how terrible, they can be an invitation to prayer, an invitation into a deeper relationship with God. Knowing all things are in the hands of God, even when we struggle to see it ourselves. But it's always been this way. Israel was sent to the Israelite nation, God's chosen ones. They were there to be messengers to the world, to show the world that as God was taking care of them, He desired to take care of all of His sons and daughters. Among the gods, there is none like You, O Lord. No deeds can compare with Yours, for You are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. But they did not have a smooth path. They are constantly being taken over, being taken captive, driven from the Holy Land, driven from their homes, only to be brought back, to allow it to return. And then it happens all over again. The Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Persians, this was their advent. Christ didn't come till 500 years after Isaiah, and they were waiting before that. We see this in salvation history, that they were waiting for their Messiah. The powers of the world are thwarted by the hand of God, not by the sword. The Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Persians, at the time of Christ, it was the Romans. All of these great worldly powers defeated one by one. And this is what Mark is telling us in the gospel. When Caesar would win a major battle, when he would defeat another nation and add to his empire, he would send messengers throughout his empire with the evangelium of Caesar, with the good news of Caesar, telling them about the victory in battle. Mark was telling the evangelium of Jesus Christ, the good news of Christ. And he was doing it right in the heart of Caesar's empire in Rome, the capital city. He was saying to everyone that he is a follower of Christ. And Jesus Christ has defeated the powers of the world. The Roman army had killed Christ, but the power of God had risen him up. Caesar had killed Paul and Peter, but he couldn't destroy their spirit. The powers of the world have been defeated. And they don't just go away. They continue even to our own day. Worldly powerments, and whether it's governments, whether it's corporations, whether it's individuals, they take various forms, but they all have one thing in common. Even all of these recent sexual harassment, sexual abuse things that we've been reading about in the paper and on the internet, these things have the same thing in common with the communist worldly domination. And that is they seek to destroy the human spirit. They tempt us to lose confidence that Christ has indeed won our salvation. We see how easy it is for us to lose our focus. So we need to learn to listen to the words of John the Baptist. We need to listen to the voice of Jesus Christ. The Baptist tells us that the most important things in this world, in this life, are the spiritual things, the spiritual truths, the assurance of God's love for me and His desire to grant abundant mercy and forgiveness to me. When we look in the mirror, every one of us, if God could only have come to save one person, and that one person is the one that looks back at me in the morning, Christ would have done it. He would have offered everything that He offered, every drop of His blood, to save one soul. That's how personal His love is for every one of us. We have been redeemed. We don't have to look for another. John the Baptist calls us to awaken our hearts to God's grace, to awaken our eyes and our ears to Christ's presence. Let the past be in the past. And if we have to get to confession and let it go. There's a new life lying in store, a life with Jesus Christ, a life in Jesus Christ. John called many to Him in the desert. The church continues to call and inspire millions to come to her every year. Our church isn't something that's just relegated to the past. Our church is alive and vibrant. Each day, each week, it grows as our relationships grow with Christ. Our hearts are called to be one with Him. The power of the cross and the resurrection will never be exhausted. It is as fresh today as it was on that first Easter morning. It is there calling us to new life. But to get there, He first has to be born in our hearts. He is here among us. He's in our families. He's in our community. He's in our world. But do I recognize Him? Do others recognize Him in me? In my actions, in my words, and in my choices? Am I trying to make myself Jesus to others? Or am I demanding that Jesus conform Himself to what I desire? This Advent, we're called to listen to the word of the Baptist, opening our hearts to the minds of the voice of Christ, becoming Christ to others, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's in the midst of our shopping when we're at the store. If we do this, we truly will have reason to rejoice. To rejoice always, not just today, not just this Advent season, but every day until that ultimate celebration in His presence at the heavenly banquet.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered Pilate, who was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Joy is the certitude that comes into the world because it has been touched by the mystery of Christ. In this joy, we turn to our Father with our prayers and petitions.